Some cultures throughout history image their ideal leader as a warrior, ready and capable to lead armies to vanquish enemies. They are feared and respected. Some picture their ideal leader as godlike, descended from on high. They're human, but just barely. They're revered. Others picture the ideal leader as an elder, a sage who leads with wisdom, one who can see into the future and make good and hard decisions, and they are trusted. For Israel, the ideal leader was strong and godlike and wise. The ideal leader was a shepherd, a humble shepherd, known and followed by the sheep. Shepherds have been the primary image for leaders of God's people since Moses and David. For Ezekiel, God is a shepherd. Also for the psalmist, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, strong, wise, caring. There is a way of seeing the sheep shepherd relationship as a commentary on humanity more than anything else. Sheep are dumb and stinky. They'll get themselves into trouble by wandering off and getting lost. They're helplessly vulnerable to predators. And so therefore, we are dumb. Our sins are wretched. We are susceptible to our own fallenness and to the oppression of predators. And so the sheep image reminds us that our foundational and fundamental identity is like that. Wretched, worthless sinners who survive only because the shepherd condescends to regard us in our sorry state. It's not all wrong. Seeing yourself as a barnyard animal, particularly this one, can be a helpful, humbling reminder of our sheep-like qualities and all our weakness and helplessness and vulnerabilities. But that can't be the point of the story. And it can't be the point of the beginning of or the end of the gospel. The story of the Good Shepherd isn't about your sorriness, though look at you making yourself the center of the story. The story is about the goodness of the shepherd and your belovedness. The shepherd's not judging the sheep, exasperated and disgusted by their condition. The shepherd knows each one by name. He loves them, each one, and he will lay down his life for them. He will defend them against all predators outside the sheepfold and protect them even from their own weaknesses. The Lord is my shepherd and leads me to green pastures beside still waters. God is good, and you are beloved, and there are dangers all around. The prophets warned about bad shepherds, those who use their position to lead sheep astray. Jesus warned of thieves and robbers who break in to steal and kill and destroy. Thieves steal by deception and deceit. Robbers steal with violence and force. Both steal. They take things away from people. Maybe you've thieved or robbed someone at some point. You can be forgiven. All are beloved. And remember, it was a thief on the cross who was welcomed to paradise with Christ. There's grace in Christ for that or whatever you've done. We all need grace for something, for everything. If you've been on the other side of it, if you've ever been robbed, you know what it feels like. You know the hurt. A phone picked from your pocket. a backpack carelessly left and filched, a shed ransacked for tools, a back door of a house kicked in, a car window shattered. I've had each one of those things happen to me, and you likely have your own as well. In a way, you're fortunate if that's all that's happened. If it's something to be robbed hurts more than the monetary value, the injustice of someone coming into your house, into your life to take something of value to you diminishes you in some way for some time. When I was robbed in Miami, just out of college, from just about everything in my little house that had any value at all, the worst part of it all was the boot print they left on my bed. You walked on my bed? Take the VCR. Did you have to step on my bed? Thieves and robbers are everything the Good Shepherd is not. Thieves and robbers leave people less than when they found them. And let us acknowledge, there are some of us and many in the world who've been thieved and robbed of that in your life, which is far more than your VCR, your car, whatever's in your pockets. When the Bible talks about bad shepherds and thieves and bandits, it's not talking about the pickpocket or the guy rummaging through your shed, not even the one breaking in your house. Those aren't good things. But the thievery and banditry in view by Jesus isn't the practice of those at the bottom, stealing, and not even the one next to him on the cross. The thieves and robbers he's talking about are people in power, religious power, political power, who use deception and lies to enrich themselves at the expense of the people, who use economic, political, and judicial force to take advantage of those who are weak. They will deceive you, trick you, overpower you, consume you, and extract what they can from you, and then leave you there. Who is the real robber and the thief in the crucifixion story? The man on the cross next to Jesus? Or Pontius Pilate and the Romans, who stole Jesus' freedom, though they knew he was innocent? Or the religious leaders who robbed Jesus of his life so theirs might be preserved? Thieves and robbers steal and kill and destroy. When Jesus said this, he was teaching the people to discern their leaders while he was looking directly at the leaders. This is the kind of thing that got him in trouble. But for the sheep, there are dangers all around, and the good shepherd won't be silenced in the face of them. In John's gospel, there's the story in John 9, just the chapter before this, of a man born blind whom Jesus heals. The man was happy, but the religious leaders were indignant. They were angry that someone like this, who for so long had served as a sermon illustration of someone deserving of no mercy, had suddenly been shown mercy. It undermined the moral grip they had on their people. Look how bad he is, or look how bad his parents are, and look what happened to him. You better listen to us. Do what we say, or you'll be cursed like him. And then one day, a Sabbath day, he comes in wide-eyed, seeing everything and everyone for who they are. And for the first time, the leaders are in danger of losing their control over the people's allegiance and fear. Their eyes are opened too. Bad shepherds like that don't want you to see or hear or think. They will thieve your mind. They will rob your spirit. And they want to keep you in a place where they can keep doing it. And in contrast to those who want to pull their own wool over your eyes, Jesus wants you to see them, to see yourself, to see everything, to see God at work amongst you and within you. I am the good shepherd, It's right after that story that Jesus speaks of thieves and robbers who sneak in to the sheepfold. And it's right after that to a people who feel helpless, to powers they have no control over, who see clearly the lack of compassion their leaders have for the vulnerable, who feel like their lives are diminished by those who steal and rob from them. He looks at all those people then and there and at all times and all places and says, I'm not coming to you as a warrior, but I will defend you from evil. I am the life. I'm not coming hovering above human life as a demigod, but I am with you all the way. I'm not coming just to give wise sayings, but I am the truth. I am the good shepherd. And from there, Jesus just can't help himself. The metaphor just tumbles out from him. I am the shepherd. I am the gatekeeper. I am the gate. I am light, the life abundant of the green pastures. I'm everything you need and everything is yours. I'm the voice you recognize as good and as God's. I am the way and the truth and the life. Live in me. Live with me. You are known. You are beloved. When you feel helpless or alone or defeated, to that which is outside of you and to that which is churning within you, remember, you are known and you are beloved and you are not alone. An old Irish prayer captures this totality of vision from the perspective of the sheep. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise, Christ in the heart of every one who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of every one who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. And that's just a portion of the prayer. God's presence captures the totality of the life Jesus offers for us when we are dwelling in green pastures of life and when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death for ourselves and with those whom we love. I'm everything for you in a world that will consume you and use you and extract what it can from you for its own and then leave you. Not so the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd knows you and you know his voice. Listen for his voice. Listen for his spirit. Look for his spirit. Trust in his word. Follow him to green pastures. Follow him through the valley of the shadow of death. What can separate us from the love of Christ? Trouble, hardships, persecutions, principalities, powers, death? Nothing. Nothing. We may be regarded by some as just dumb, vulnerable sheep to be slaughtered, but we are his sheep. And nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. I am your good shepherd. I am your guardian. I am your gatekeeper. I am your gate. I am the abundant life and the green grass that I will lead you to. I am the still waters so you never thirst again. I guide you in the valley of the shadows of life and the shadows of death. I am the feast and the table in the presence of your enemies. I am the goodness and the mercy that redeems enemies into friends and sets us all at a table to which we are all welcome. I am the house of the Lord for you forever. I am your good shepherd. And in the end, and even more, I am the Lamb of God, slain, who takes away the sins of the world. And so, surrounded by such love and the one who loves us, we lift our voices with all creation and say, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Amen.